San Francisco is the only city in California where the voters choose their public defender. Since 2002, the city has elected Jeff Adachi.
San Francisco is the most progressive, pro-union, you know, lefty, and I'm probably the poster boy for that in many ways.
Adachi comes from a long line of public defenders who have been fighting to give equal representation to those caught up in the criminal justice system. Every year, his office takes on more than 25,000 clients who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford a lawyer. Adachi says more than 100 years ago, one California woman championed the public defender system. Her name was Clara Foltz.
Well, she was really the pioneer of the public defender system. And having been the first woman attorney, she became a criminal defense attorney because she couldn't find a job anywhere and became very prominent, a very fine trial lawyer. And she came up with the idea in the 1890s to have a public defender system. There was none then. And so she spent 21 years advocating for this law, and it finally passed in 1921. And our office was formed that same year. And this was, again, 50 years before the United States Supreme Court declared in the Gideon case in 1963 that there was a right to a lawyer and that the state had an obligation to pay for it. So in California, we're very fortunate that we had Clara Foltz, and that's why we exist today.
And the Gideon case that you just mentioned really transformed the legal landscape for indigent defendants particularly. What happened?
Well, there's a great movie called Gideon's Trumpet where Henry Fonda plays Clarence Earl Gideon, who was a drifter charged with burglarizing a pool hall and went to trial without a lawyer. At the time, unless you were charged with a death penalty offense, you did not have a right to a lawyer. And so he was convicted and wrote a handwritten petition to the United States Supreme Court saying, I have a right to a lawyer, and the Supreme Court agreed.
Because it's in the Sixth Amendment.
Yeah, it's in the Bill of Rights, which has been around since 1791, but they never said who was going to pay for it, and we're still struggling with this today.
So what does that ultimately mean? So you have this right to legal counsel, you have this right to a speedy trial, but in practice, public defenders aren't necessarily robustly funded. There's this report out by the Brennan Center for Justice saying that on average, a public defender might spend 6 minutes with a client. How could that possibly be fair justice?
And it's a direct result of being treated like the stepchild of the criminal justice system and not being funded. The Brennan Center also found that about $6 billion is spent on prosecuting people, but less than $3 billion is spent on public defense, even though we handle 80% of the cases that come out of a prosecutor's office. So it isn't fair. The resources aren't there, and it's something that is really a dirty secret of our criminal justice system. And when you think about being charged with a crime, that's the most drastic thing that could possibly happen to somebody. And you need someone who's going to know how to fight your case and is going to stand up for you. And so public defenders are really important. When you think about the term public defenders, our job is to defend the public. The reason why the founding fathers and mothers of this country put that in there is because they knew what it was like to be wrongfully prosecuted. They had experienced that under British rule. And so they put in the Bill of Rights this important right. So it's something that all Americans should take an interest in and should fight for.
That's Jeff Adachi. He's the public defender for San Francisco County and City. And you're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. So, Jeff, how do you deal with these heavy caseloads in your own as public defender? And what was it like for you when you were a lawyer in the public defender's office? What was your caseload?
When I first started 30 years ago, we had 300 cases per lawyer, which was just insane. And we
300?
Yeah. We worked, 15, 16-hour days, but it still wasn't enough. And so when I came in as public defender 10 years ago, one of the things I did is I set caseload standards. And it was very controversial because I began refusing cases because we had too many cases. We had lawyers who were handling 100 felony cases at one time or handling 200 to 300 misdemeanor cases. So now that's changed. And I limit the caseloads of my lawyers so there are reasonable caseloads that they're handling, and they can actually investigate each case, file the necessary motions, and do all the things that you would expect your lawyer to do. But it's taken some time to get there.
in this last 5 years has seen drastic cuts to the court system in California. You took an extraordinary step after the financial collapse in 2008 and said you wouldn't take any more cases, right?
Right. And what had happened is that they had imposed across-the-board cuts to every department, and we just were not in a position to accept those cuts because we don't control the cases that come to us. If the police go out and make some arrests and the district attorney decides to charge the cases, we have to handle those cases. So it's not as if we can say to our client, well, you know what, we can't investigate your case, or I don't have the resources we have to we need to look into your case properly. I mean, this is a person who's accused of a crime, very serious consequences, and we have to make sure that we can do what is required for every client. Otherwise, you have innocent people who are wrongfully convicted. You have a system that's unreliable. And most importantly, you have an unequal system of justice where a person who has money can afford to hire the best, and a person without money is going to be straddled for basic resources you need to fight your case.
And that's going to end up being mostly low-income people of color.
Right.
So what's on your agenda for reforming this system, and what would be your top priorities?
We have to make sure that public defender offices are properly funded. I'm elected, and so I can refuse cases. I can object when our caseloads are too heavy.
And just for listeners, Jeff Adachi is the only elected public defender in California.
Right. So, you know, we can't penalize public defenders who are going to say enough is enough. We have to limit our caseload. The other thing is that people have to speak up on this issue, and we have to have people who are affected by these injustices come forward and tell their stories.
But those are usually the most disenfranchised people in our society.
Right. But we have been very vigorous in terms of getting stories out there. I mean, every time we have an acquittal in a case, we put out a press release. We engage the public. We have a justice summit that people can watch on the government channel here every year where we talk about these issues. But also the Justice Department has to play a more active role. And under Attorney General Eric Holder, they have been. They've been intervening in situations where there are too many cases being handled by a public defender, and they have said enough is enough. So, you know, we can reform it. It's going to take time, and it's going to take money and advocacy by people who care.
And what would be your top three priorities?
As public defender, I want to see a system where people accused of low-level crimes are sent to treatment, you know, particularly, you know, drug offenses. I mean, we should not be filling our jails with people who are basically drug addicts. That's a health problem. And 60% of the people who are in custody in this country are there for drug offenses. It has a huge toll. We're spending more on corrections in California than we are on, our university system. I think, secondly, we have to be smarter in terms of looking at what crimes we prioritize. The California legislature has continued a trend of setting higher and higher sentences for crimes because it happens to be the flavor of the month. Instead, we really have to look at, you know, what are the outcomes we're seeking to make our society safer? We don't want people to recidivate, and that means get in trouble again. Yet we have a system where 70% of the people coming out of the prison system are going back. It's not working. We need to put the money into rehabilitating people so they stay out of trouble. And I can tell you from my personal experience as a public defender that if you help people succeed, they're not going to come back into the system. We have a program right now where we're providing support to people, young people who are coming out of the juvenile justice system. We're able to keep 90% of them in school, and less than 13% have gotten into trouble again, which is great. That's what you want to invest in. And finally, you know, we want to make sure that we have a justice system which is fair, that is not based on the amount of money you have. And bail in, you know, the amount of money that you're required to post to get out is in itself unequal. You could be charged with murder, and if you have $1 million that you can put up for your bail, you're out of jail. If, on the other hand, you're charged with a minor misdemeanor and your bail is $500 and you don't have $500, you can't get out. And what it does is it essentially forces people to plead guilty just to get out of jail. So we have a system in this country which is not an equal system.